Hello.
Shalom, Rav Lovlensky.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
A tiny bit soft, but audible.
Okay, is this better, I guess?
Yes, much better.
Okay. There's no video, right?
No video. The next step is, if it gets going, we can install some other software where there's like video and everyone can see.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, but this is actually great. I'm very happy with it as it is, you know.
Okay. You know, let me try something else to see if the audio will improve. I have like a head thing. We'll see in a second. I'll go off a minute. I'll just leave everything. Let me try this.
Pretty good for me, Happy.
Yeah, no, it's very good. I can hear it very clearly, huh?
Hello? Is this better?
Still soft. You were actually better before.
Okay. So I'm going to switch the mic to the other mic.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay. We're holding here in the Nesiva Sneas, and we did the first paragraph last time, and we're doing the next paragraph on the left-hand side.
Yes.
Preparing by Rava. Yes?
Rav Lovyansky?
Yes?
Sorry, can we ask a question?
Sure.
Just we touched on this a bit last week, but I was thinking afterwards, it seems that sneers and kavod almost go in opposite directions. Whereas what we're saying here is that sneers is hiding and protecting the madrega hanista of something and
right.
Not letting it out into the Rishus HaRabim.
Right.
Whereas kavod is taking something which has value, erech,
right.
And Tucker expressing it in the Rishus HaRabim. Is it?
Well, it's almost a
horror which needs hesber.
Well, we're going to see actually in the next paragraph, we're going to see that it actually is one and the same, remarkably so, and we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to see that kavod is only through tznius. Let's just throw out an example. Somebody who is undressed is not the kavod. On the other hand, when you display kar malchuso, tferes malchuso, you display the grant of your malchus, it is kavod. I hope to address it in today's session because it's a lot more explicit in this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
It says, Operek Lulavai Rava, Dorish Rava, Mayrich Siv Mayofu Pamayach Bane Olim, Chamukhi Rechayach. It says in the Pasuk how beautiful is Klal Yisrael's footsteps in shoes, Chamukhi Rechayach, with the thighs sort of hidden. So it says, Loma Nimshu Divre Torah L'Yorech, L'Yorech. Why is Torah like a Yorech? Loi Malacha. My Yorech B'Seisa, Divre Torah B'Seisa. So, Divre Torah needs Seisa, just like Homo Gerechayach. Now, Chazal concludes, the Gemara says, V'Hayna Domra B'Loza, Maitech Siv Higid L'Cha Adam, Matov, O Ma'ashem Doshimcha, Kimasos mishpat avas chesed vatzni aleches in alakecha. Asos mishpat zehadin avas chesed imilas chasodim vatzni aleches in alakecha zafnas as kala. Malvoyes ameis. So the Gemara concludes, Haloi dvorim kal v'chayma. Uma dvorim shadarkan lasas v'hesya. Omra tori vatzni aleches in alakecha. Things like achnas as kala and halvoyes ameis, the Torah, the pasuk, emphasizes to do Vatzei Aleches, Kal V'choyme Dvorim Shadarkan Lasis Bitzina. Now, Pirish Tov Azeh, Ki Ro'ui Shetia L'Tora Madrega Apnim Zayin Kashper Azeh. So the first point is, Torah ought to have this Pnimius Dika Madrega that he called before, like we spoke about before. Ulefikach ein roihu sheyeh ha'odom noig b'divir Torah rakifim ma'losa sh'nisteres. That's why a person needs to treat Torah in line with what its name is, as we saw last week.
I'm sorry?
There's a bit of an echo here, can you hear me?
Is this better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, well, yeah, I actually lost you in the middle there, after Pirush that was there. Okay.
That's why a person ought to be known to the Torah, Kifima Lotta, which is his parents. We all explained this last week. The Yinag Bominig Matnius, Kimosha Royal Taira, Sheshla Madrega, Steris, Lo Yinag Vetoro Minagagolu Hayotimina. Okay. So now he's going to explain the three different elements. The pasuk mentions three things, and the true to the morale, what Ma always says, and also this is something that is obvious, like that, that when the Tana, when a Gemara brings down some sort of a whole bunch of examples, and certainly a pasuk, the pasuk is very specific about picking certain examples and explaining what each example is. So he says like this: Kirosh etir l'teiga madrega p'tim. Sorry, maybe Raya Madar Blaza Shankar Derutchkov. Here's Gimel Dros Hakos. Echad hu achesed hagomer asos chesed hefeichol asos mishpat echsev asos mishpat bedova zehu hefra chesed. Now, let me jump the gun a bit and say something that I'll say towards the end, just so that we have a framework for discussing it. Expresses itself along that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing with. In other words, we will assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knowing with us with different middos, and if we wish to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in line with those middos. So, if we say that we want to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu has one way of categorizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos interaction with us is through describing the three main anhagas, which include in themselves all the other anhagas. That is a midah of chesed, a midah of mishpat, or din, and a midah that is mimutzah. And let's explain a little bit outside, and then we'll see it inside. There are, when I describe a relationship of something to something else, lamashal, in terms, let's say I give somebody money. The money given can be described in one of three ways. One is, it really is the persons who I'm giving it to. It's a loan, it's a pikadon. He worked for it, and these are his wages. So that act of giving is really fulfilling the emes as it is. The emes is, this money is his. It's a pikadon, it's work, whatever it is. A second way is chesed. Means it's something which is completely my benevolence. It has the makabel. It doesn't belong to makabel in any sense. I'm not giving back, returning, compensating, or anything of that nature. And that is pure chesed. The first one means bidin, it's like that. This is the way it is. It's a metzias, it's a reality. And the second one is, it's a maisa of the makab, of the noisa. It has nothing to do, it's my benevolence, and that's it. There's another category in the middle. And let's take an example in halacha where that would exist. For instance, the din of hanik tanik, of giving an Eved Ivri the extra money when he leaves. Now, the money that the Eved Ivri gets being bought as an Eved Ivri is din. He works for X amount of years and you give it to him. Hanukkah is not stucker. It's just the closest word I'm English. It's appropriate. Being that he did work for so long, he might have overworked. You owe him something despite the fact that it's not the exact salary and the wages, and so on. So, the klal ha-devarim is that a person, when he owes something, when a person owes something, it's din. When it's appropriate, it's neither this nor that. In a certain sense, that mid-type of transaction is not inferior to the other one. Somebody could have made a case, well, it neither reflects your benevolence nor what the person really is owed. But on the real emes is, it's more of a chibur and a cash on the other two. When I give somebody a tip above and beyond what the law or custom requires, then it's interesting. The person gets it without the deficiency of chesed. The person doesn't feel that he's a stuck case. He feels he did it because he was very, very efficient and extremely pleasant in the way he gave the things. So he feels he deserves it. I have the right to feel I wasn't obligated to do it, but I did it lifnai lifnim, kind of. So we have over here a type of interaction that in a certain sense is the best of both worlds. It's a chibur between the two in the way which the other midos are not. Because when I give chesed to somebody, I certainly feel kind towards the person I gave me the chesed to, but the person feels it's kind of a gift and it doesn't feel good about it, it's embarrassed, or vice versa. The person taking it feels how kind and sweet it is. The person giving it feels, well, I'm giving it for nothing. In the meat of Mishpat, it doesn't generate any particularly goodwill because, again, you have to give it. You're not doing it. The giving is simply fulfilling reality. He painted your house. He spent an hour work. You're giving him back the hour work. Nothing here that really happened that you could say creates a bond between the two. In this mid one, we have something which allows for the nuisance, the novelins, and the couples justified earnings to merge together. So a person needs to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his interactions with the world in these three anhagas. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu forges his bond with the world by these three venues, so to a person in emulating God is going to have to do things that go along these three ways.
Are we saying that the Derech HaMemutza creates the strongest relationship between them, or just different?
In a certain sense, it creates the strongest relationship. I mean, let's go back to the book. In the HaMemutza, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shemos, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is, besides being the most closest name HaKadosh Baruch Hu, including everything, when it's used as a particular shame, it's connected to Midah Memutzah, which is fascinating. That's something that you wouldn't expect, but it also makes sense that the center of gravity, in a certain sense, is equal to the entire circle of it. You balance something on a center of gravity as if you'd be holding the entirety of it. So that point of Mimutza is, in a way, the profoundest Hanhaga.
Great. Okay, that was a bit of a paradigm shift for me to hear that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Mamutza and not Chesed.
Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is certainly not Chesed. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Midah Rachamim. I guess let's go off on a tangent because we're headed down to Hashem, Hashem, and so on. He says Midas HaRachamim. Midas HaRachamim, as opposed to Chesed, is as follows. One of the most basic distinctions